Everyone, my name's Mark. I'm a student minister here at ARPC, if I haven't met you before. Just a quick notice before we start, on your outline that you've got from the door, points 2 and 3 have been swapped around. You'll see why as we work through God's word. But let's pray and let's have a look at what 2 Peter 2 says to us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that in our country, we have the ability to read your word in our language. We thank you for all those faithful people who translated your word. Lord, we just thank you that we have access to your word and that we can grow as we read it. Lord, we pray today as we think about the idea of false teachers. Lord, we pray that you help us want and help us desire to grow in our knowledge of you by reading your word, spending time in your word, so that ultimately we cannot be led astray by false teachers, but that we can focus on the true teacher, on the great teacher, Jesus. And we thank you that all that he has done for us through his death and resurrection, and we pray now as we look at your word that you help us focus on your word and grow in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how do you spot a fake? When it comes to diamonds, there are people who can spot a fake and there are people who will be fooled every time. So how can you spot a fake diamond anyway? Let me tell you, it's actually easy really. Become a jeweler. Live a lifestyle of a jeweler. Grow in your knowledge and skills of a jeweler and you'll be able to spot a fake. Now, some of you are probably hoping for more information than that. And then I saw about 5 men look nervously at their wife's hands, and you guys are glad that I stopped there. But last week, we were given a lot of information on how to live the Christian life. Remember when we looked at 2 Peter 1 and how all Christians must grow in goodness, in knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and in love. And as Christians, we do these things while we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus. But this week we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, he's talking about false teachers. So what on earth do these things have in common? Well, if we are living the Christian lifestyle, we will be growing in these things that Peter listed out in chapter 1. And particularly, we'll be growing in our knowledge of God and we'll be able to spot a fake. We'll be able to spot a false teacher. So if you grow in your knowledge of God, you will be able to spot a false teacher miles away. Just as a jeweler can spot a fake diamond, a Christian who is growing in their knowledge of God will be able to spot a false teacher a mile off. So this morning I want to start by telling you a true story about a false teacher and then we'll actually have a look at the passage itself. See, when I became a Christian at age 19, at that time I wasn't very mature in life or Christianity. Now I know that's shocking to some of you here, but here I was, 19-year-old me, a new Christian, so I decided to start looking for a church. I went to this one church and I thought everything was normal because I knew everything back then. I thought I was doing the right things. I thought I was giving money the way I was taught to because I wanted to unlock some sort of secret blessing for my life, or so the pastor told me. But after a while, after reading my Bible, the things that were being said from up front weren't lining up with what I was reading in the Bible. Then one morning, as I'm helping pack up chairs after the service, I put my wallet and keys down on a chair so I could just lift up a big stack of chairs and then move them. The pastor sees my wallet, and in my wallet, you can see the corner of a $50 note sticking out. He immediately says to me, "You didn't give a good enough tithe this morning," pointing to my wallet. Now, he didn't know how much I gave that morning. It could have been nothing. It could have been twice what he saw in my wallet. But the point is, this guy, through his teaching, both up front and in his words to me in that moment, illustrated to me he was trying to exploit me for his greed. But in this moment, it was like a light bulb moment for me. I realized that this guy was manipulating me for his greedy gain. Not because he talked about money in church, but because when he was teaching, he was twisting God's word to manipulate people to give him more and more money. See, this guy worked off commission. So instead of giving money out of godly reasons, you would be told to give money for ungodly reasons. He was encouraging people to give money to that required amount so you would somehow get more and more money given back to you. He was greedy for his own gain, and he was manipulating people in an underhanded way. He was crafty. He was appealing to people's sinful desires to fuel his own sinful desires. But the point is this. If I wasn't growing in the knowledge of God, if I wasn't reading my Bible, I would probably still be there accepting this dodgy teaching. But the false preachers in Peter's day seem like they were even worse than my little encounter. But the point is that false teachers are dangerous. They are dangerous to be around, and they are around today. And we need to grow in our knowledge of God to be able to spot them. So briefly now, we're going to have a look at the dangers of false teachers, the character of false teachers, and then finally, the condemnation and destruction false teachers will ultimately face. So first, we look at the danger of false teachers. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Then we'll go back to chapter 1. And then we'll come back to chapter 2. Don't worry, it'll make sense in a second. But please follow along in your Bibles so you can see what the Bible is saying. Let's have a look. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but. Okay, let's stop there for a second. This chapter starts with a but. That's but with one T. But what is the significance about the but? The but at the start of chapter 2 shows there's a contrast or a difference between what is at the start of chapter 2 and what is at the end of chapter 1. So let's look at the end of 2 Peter 1 to see what the contrast is. Let's see the difference between what is written at the end of chapter 1 and what is at the start of chapter 2. So let's look at the end of chapter 1. It says, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, at the end of 2 Peter 1, we remember from last week, if we're here, Peter pointed out that he isn't basing his teaching on a hunch, but rather he's basing his teaching on the truth of God. Peter's teaching is founded in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 2 he is saying, but just like there were false teachers back in the Old Testament times, there will be false teachers among you today. Peter is showing his listeners and his readers that there is a difference between teachers like him, who teach the truth, and other false teachers who teach heresies, who teach wrong things about God, just so they can fuel their own greed. And that is why there is a but at the start of chapter 2. Peter is saying, we are teachers of the truth, but watch out for the dodgy ones because they're dangerous. So we must make sure we are growing in our knowledge of God so we can spot false teachers in the same way a jeweler can spot a fake diamond. Otherwise, we'll be easy pickings for these false teachers. We will end up paying a high price for a fake. These false teachers secretly introduce destructive non-truths about God. And these false teachers, they do it on the sly. There's a cunningness in how they operate. They twist the words of God to suit their own agenda. They are a real danger. Some of them even end up denying God altogether. So just quickly, there was this one guy in America, because there's always one. He started up as the new and upcoming preacher on the scene. And then he started teaching things that were untrue. And over a period of time, his teaching got worse and worse. And he eventually ended up denying God entirely. But this false teacher dragged so many immature Christians with him because they were either very young Christians or they were Christians who had been Christians for a while but neglected to grow in their knowledge of God. If they had grown in their knowledge of God, they would have spotted him a mile off. But instead, they bought a fake and they ended up paying a high price. In verse 2, it tells us many will follow their depraved conduct. See, there are many people claiming Christianity and acting like a false teacher, which brings the name of Christianity into question, doesn't it? I'm sure you've seen it yourself. And nearly always, these false teachers are driven by their greed for power and money. They are dangerous. And you can tell who they are because of their character. We know from the opening in this passage here that they are driven by their greed. But what else makes up? What else is in the makeup of a false teacher? Now, we're not talking about the foundation on their face, but the foundation of their character. Have a look at the second half of verse 10 with me, and we'll look through at the character of a false teacher. They are bold and arrogant. They blatantly abuse celestial beings. They blaspheme. They act like animals. They carouse in broad daylight. Their eyes are full of adultery. They never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are driven by greed. They love wickedness and what it can bring to them. They are boastful. They go after new converts because they're easy to fool. They promise freedom, but are slaves themselves to sin. But think about the picture we just looked at. It's like the anti-Christian life. It's the anti-chapter one. What is the opposite of what we just read there in chapter two? Someone who grows in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and in love. The opposite of 2 Peter chapter 2 is someone living the Christian lifestyle of 2 Peter chapter 1. So the way to spot a false teacher is by looking to see if they possess the traits of chapter 1 or if they possess the traits of chapter 2. The false teachers of chapter 2 are illustrated to be cunning people who know how to appeal to people's sinful desires. Like a good marketing manager, they know exactly how to get people in the door. They appeal to their worldly desires. For example, if you look at verses 13, 14, and 18, you will see these false teachers make an appeal to people's physical desires and exploit them. They know how people work, and they know who exactly they can prey on. Just like the 50,000 Nigerian princes out there scamming money from naive and the elderly through fake email scams, a false teacher knows exactly who to target. Their character is flawed. This is obvious because they prey on the weak and the naive. But don't worry, these false teachers will face judgment of God because of their actions. Now, there's nothing scarier than that, is it? Because they are so caught up in what they are doing, they think they can get away with it. Just like the majority of criminals who commit a crime, the majority think they're clever enough to get away with it. But let me tell you, these false teachers won't get away with it because God will hold them to an account. Let's look at how he does that. In the second half of verse 3, have a look at your Bibles, through to verse 10, we see that these false teachers are walking the path to destruction. They aren't even interested in following Jesus anymore now that they're following their worldly desires. These worldly desires are the worldly desires that Christians have escaped back in chapter 1. But the good news about false teachers is God knows how to deal with them. God will deal with them in the same way that he has dealt with others who have rejected him. Have a look at verse 4. It says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawlessness. For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his own righteous soul by the lawlessness, the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority." See, God knows how to deal with false teachers. He deals with them the way he deals with all people who reject him. God has a track record of dealing appropriately with wicked people like the false teachers we see here. So if you're in danger of being one of these false teachers, stop it. Turn and follow our Lord Jesus. Be warned. God knows how to deal with the wicked. We have seen it time and time again throughout history. No evil escapes punishment. False teachers are walking the path to destruction. But also, in this section, we see God's track record of graciously saving those who follow him. God saved Noah and Lot from among people that didn't follow him. He graciously saved the righteous out of the darkness. Just like he has saved those of us who are Christians. He saved us by making us righteous through Jesus. He saves us from having to face the punishment on the day of judgment. So for those false teachers and whoever denies Jesus, on the day of judgment, they will experience the worst possible thing that could ever happen to them. They will experience the punishment of God being poured out on them. But remember, if your faith is in the Lord Jesus, you are safe from God's punishment. If you are godly, he will rescue you. And we should remember from last week in chapter 1, God has given us everything to live the godly life. So be assured, if you are living the way that chapter 1 describes the Christian life, you are safe in Jesus on the day of judgment. But as sure as safety is for those who've been made righteous in Jesus, for those who've been saved through Jesus, it is also true that God's righteous judgment will fall hard on those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and who despise authority. The false teachers in this chapter face scary punishment on the day of judgment. where they will be held accountable for their sin against God. And if someone despises the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in for a rude shock on the day of judgment. But don't let that be you, because they will face the full punishment for their sin. And maybe if you're here today, maybe that's a real concern to you. Maybe you have despised Jesus' authority in the past. The game isn't over for you yet. Turn to Jesus. Submit to his authority. Accept his gracious act of saving you. See, as Christians, we have an eternal hope in Jesus. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve for sinning against him. The day of judgment for our sin came when Jesus was crucified on the cross. We have been saved and our sin has been dealt with on the cross. So as Christians, we don't have to live in fear of the coming day of judgment, because we are safe in Jesus. Our sin has been paid for. We are now God's people. And for you today, if your trust isn't in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, today is the day for you to stop despising the authority of Jesus and humbly sit under it. Because here at ARPC, we want to teach the truth about Jesus. We want to see people not led astray by false teachers, but rather know the ultimate teacher in Jesus. We want you to follow the ultimate teacher, Jesus, rather than people like the false teachers described here in 2 Peter chapter 2. So we've seen today that false teachers are dangerous and cunning, and that is why we are to grow in our knowledge of God, so we can spot the fake diamond, so we can spot the false teacher. I can't emphasize this enough. Don't be deliberately naive. False teachers are still around today. So grow in following the Lord Jesus. Because even though these false teachers will face the wrath of God on the day of judgment, it is still quite possible that a false teacher can drag you down the path of destruction with them. It is still possible for you to be sold a fake diamond. It is still possible for you to be sold a fake gospel. So keep growing in your knowledge of God so you can spot the fake a mile away, and so you can cherish how precious the real deal is, how precious Jesus is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for how precious he is. We thank you that through him we can have the forgiveness of sins, that we can have a right relationship with you, that only through him he can make us righteous so that we don't have to fear the day of judgment that is coming. Lord, we just pray now that our hearts are convicted to want to know you more, want to grow in our knowledge of you. Lord, help us to read our Bibles through the week. Help us to read our Bibles at Growth Group and other places as well. Lord, we just pray that you help us grow in our knowledge so we're not led astray by false teachers, but that we can focus on the ultimate teacher that is in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.